Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Who are you? Ever ask yourself that question? Who are you? I mean, if someone were to actually come to you and expect you to answer, if I ask, who are you, what are you going to tell me? What definition are you going to give? Now, I had the benefit of thinking about this question more in depth as the sermon was being prepared, but I think it's an important question for everyone to consider. Who are you? Now, we don't have the benefit of spending 15 minutes right now, but I am going to give you 15 or maybe 30 seconds or something to think about who you are. What defines you and your life? All right, time's up. There's not enough time, is it? I mean, honestly, we can probably think of a few big things, right? But there's not enough time to think about who you really are. Now, I don't know what just popped into your head. I don't know what you're thinking about your personal definition for yourself, but it may have had something to do with what you do for a profession. It may have had something to do with what your daily habits are. Maybe some aspect of your personality that you particularly enjoy. I imagine that many of you thought of family and friends, hobbies that you enjoy doing, maybe your net worth, maybe not that one. Don't think about that one. What about your faith? I would hope we all thought about our faith. There are a number of things that you could choose to define yourself, and if you only had to pick out one or two, it would be entirely unfair. Because we know that there are good things about us, and there are bad things about us, and just to pick one thing or two things, it doesn't quite encompass all that we are. I mean, all aspects of our life, all of these different things I already mentioned, they work together to give us meaning. But what if one of whatever those things are that you were thinking, what if something changes in your life? And not just like, you know, something small or something insignificant, but something big. You might move from one job to another, join a different circle of friends, find a new home, whether it be in a new state or a new town or just a new building. You or someone you know may become ill, maybe terminal. Maybe a loved one dies. When big things happen in our life, what do? Because honestly, good or bad, things are going to change. The world is always changing. And so when it happens to be one of those pillars that we really use to define ourselves, what we have to do is we have to redefine who we are. Because you can't be the same person after the big change. You have to reassess, which is why change is so scary. It brings uncertainty. In Isaiah's day, there was uncertainty too. Isaiah, you know, God gives a name to his people. I mean, and throughout the Old Testament, God, he cares for his people. And then at specific times, he sort of leaves them behind. And the reason he does that is because they go off and they start searching after false gods. They worship not the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they start to worship the gods of those nations that are around them. And so what God does is instead of calling these people my people, he calls them forsaken. And as the promise, right? Remember when the promise comes to Abraham and so he goes off to the land of Canaan? Like the promise is attached to this land. Same thing when Jacob dies, he makes his children promise that they'll take his bones back to the land of Israel because the promise is attached to the land. And what does God call the land? Desolate. Like empty, barren. No good, right? But these are the names that the people deserve because they have not been faithful. They disregard God's law, and therefore they see no need for his gospel. They found their definition somewhere other than in God. And so God sends them to exile. They become forsaken and desolate by definition. But that's where, you know, so that's like the entire book of Isaiah, right? That's like the whole beginning part. But then as we make it to the end, in verse 62, as we're focusing on today, God proclaims that he will redefine them. Right? It went like this. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. By God's own will, by changes that he will enact himself, God will bring his people back from being forsaken. He will lift them out of that and delight in them once again. I mean, how we define ourselves, it's important. But how God defines us is even more important. And truth be told, we can relate to the people of Israel. We're all born in sin. We're literally born, and our name is forsaken. We don't deserve God's grace or mercy or any of that, right? Living in sin, we have no option but to define ourselves by that sin. But what does God do? He lifts us out of it. He lifts us out of that term forsaken, and instead, he calls us his delight. We get the gift because of Jesus. I mean, this is what holy baptism really is, isn't it? You're a different person before you are baptized versus after you are baptized. That sin has been washed away. You get a new identity as one of God's children. He sanctifies you. That means makes you holy and cleanses you, and you're good now. You have a new name. God's name. And thereby you have victory over your sin, over death, and over Satan. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, it all comes at a cost. No cost to you, but we remember Jesus' words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus takes the term that you deserve. He becomes the one who is forsaken, and you get to be God's delight. Jesus takes on God's wrath for your sin. It never changes. I mean, you're going to sin again. But that doesn't mean that God's promises change. Jesus' death was for you. Jesus' resurrection was for you. Your baptismal promises, they last. They're yours. They belong to you. And nothing can change that. Because they're God's promises. We know this. I'm sure none of this is new to you. I mean, this is why we really have no fear in life. I mean, sometimes the fear creeps up, but we suppress it and we tell it to go away because we have Christ, right? There's nothing left to fear. But in the world, there's another story going on. I mean, out there beyond our walls, definitions matter in our lives. And what God calls something is how we should define it too. But the world doesn't care about that. And so I don't know how much you guys pay attention. The world's fighting over definitions right now. What does it mean to be man? What does it mean to be woman? What does it mean to be in between? You know, recognized pronouns, so to speak, how people would like to define themselves or identify themselves. I'll read them to you here, right? Fae, a, per, here, they, v, z, with an x, and then also z, but with a z this time. I mean, there's also he and she, obviously. Why? Why do we have to screw around with all these different definitions? It brings so much chaos into the world. Why is everything so screwed up? God makes it so simple for the world, right? What definitions does he use? He and she. Male and female. He creates them. He defines them. The end. We don't realize it. This is an attack on marriage. All these problems. It's an attack on marriage. And it's an attack on the family. That's what's really going on. You might say that it's far away, but it's not. In fact, after our sermon today in Clinton, I had a conversation with someone afterward saying that they know people who are actually stuck in this weird sort of chaotic misunderstanding and misdefining who they actually are. Right here in Central Illinois. But the world can't figure out what marriage is either. I mean, not by definition, not by God's definition. I mean, man and woman, right? We still have that one, obviously. But then there's woman and woman. There's man and man. Now, maybe there's even more than just two parties involved. Maybe there's three people or four people or five people in the marriage. Or what about if we start getting any kind of like weird combination of all of those pronouns I said before? What's that? I read a story, this is probably several months ago, about somebody who married a tree. An inanimate object. Are you kidding me? How far are we going to degrade marriage? How long are we going to drag God's definitions through the mud and let these counterfeit definitions continue? God defines it much simpler. Man and woman, and he brings them together into this estate that he calls marriage. Why? For companionship, for procreation, for safety from sexual temptation. This is what marriage is for. This is God's definition. Jesus blessed it. Jesus loves it. That's what he did at Cana, right? They came together. Jesus goes, I don't want you to be having shame in this situation. And so he makes the water into wine, and thereby marriage is blessed by our Savior. But the world doesn't get it. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. These are the ones that are really in our face right now. But we could go on and on. The world doesn't understand definitions. The world has no clue. Out there, there's no anchor. Out in the world, there's no certainty. It's just change upon change, redefinition upon redefinition. And honestly, the goalposts, they're moving. They'll never get a handle on it. What it needs is that the world needs more Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings some sort of rock, some sort of certainty, some sort of anchor in the midst of all of these, this confusion that is out there in the world. He brings hope to the hopeless. You believe that. I know you believe that. The problem for us, though, is that we've never heard God speak from the clouds. Now, maybe you have. Anybody heard God speak from the clouds? Man, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? God works through means. God works through his church. God works through you. If God is not going to speak from the clouds, it means it is up to you to speak godly definitions into the world. The ones that God has called his Christians, the one whom he has called his church, the one whom he has delight in. You get to be those who bear God's word to the world. I didn't have this one in the manuscript here, but it's right there in the text. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. If we believe these promises of Christ, if we believe the world by God's definitions, then we have to speak, and not like browbeating people with the Bible, but in your own lives. You know, I'm a Christian today because I had grandparents who cared about me, parents who wanted me to be Christians, aunts and uncles who were appointed as sponsors who could guide me in the faith. God put me into a place where people would tell me about Jesus and give me God's definitions. And truth be told, he's put you in a place too. Who do you care about? That's where we get back to definitions, right? There are people in your life who you care about, who define you. Do they know Jesus? Do they know the truth of God's word? Or do they need you to speak? What defines you? Is it your job? Is it your family? Your friends? It is. It's all of those things and so much more. But most importantly, is that you know that God has defined you. He has given you terms. He has given you names. You are his people. You are a precious crown in his sight. You are defined to be his bride. His delight is in you. He has defined you with his triune name. He's called you his Christians. He's called you his church. He's defined you by the things that Jesus has done for you. Because in Jesus' death and resurrection, you have his righteousness. You are glorified. You are exalted. And Jesus, you are eternal. Jesus died and he came back to life on the third day, and now you share in that resurrection. You are eternal. And may God grant that these unchangeable gifts, these unchangeable promises of Jesus that were there yesterday, will be there today and forever. May God grant that you believe them, but also that you boldly proclaim them into a world that needs to hear God's definitions. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your definitions in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.